Restoration from Babylon. Chapter 11. The Fear of God Against Unbrotherliness.
The time spent in the building of the wall of Jerusalem after the coming of Nehemiah, noted in the preceding study, was so far only about a month. Nehemiah's attention had been so engaged in the work of pushing forward the work on the wall, and in warding off the schemes of the enemies, that he had not had time or opportunity to look into the individual and social conduct and condition of the people. And now there came to his knowledge that which was almost as surprising to him as was to Ezra the knowledge of the mixed marriages. In the 13 years that had elapsed between the coming of Ezra and that of Nehemiah to Jerusalem, though the evil of the mixed marriages had been largely corrected, other wrong and weakening things had been indulged.
And Nehemiah was surprised and greatly offended by a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren the Jews. For there were that said, "We, our sons, and our daughters, are many, therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live." That is, they had put to pledge the honor of their children, for the grain which, in food, they and their children must eat. Some also there were that said, "We have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn, because of the dearth." There were also that said, "We have borrowed money for the king's tribute, the state taxes, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and, lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and, some, of our daughters are brought unto bondage, already, neither, is it, in our power, to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards." Thus on the part of many there was the spirit and practice of speculating on the necessities of their brethren, for this money was not simply loaned, but loaned at interest and profit. This spirit, in the nature of things, only increased the natural selfishness of the heart, and cultivated hardness and oppressiveness of brother to brother. It really destroyed all true brotherliness, and supplanted it with the spirit of sordid gain. The whole thought became not, "How can I do most to help my brother?" but, "How can I make most off of him?" Not, "What can I do most to help him?" but, "What can I do most to help myself through his necessities?" For these reasons, what they were doing was plainly forbidden by the Lord, and in it all they were going directly contrary to the scriptures which they professed to obey. In the word of the Lord it was plainly written to all, "If your brother be waxen poor, and fallen in decay with you, then you shall relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger, or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Take you no money of him, for increase, but fear your God, that your brother may live with you. You shall not give him your money upon money, nor lend him your victuals for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, to give you the land of Canaan, and to be your God. And if your brother that dwells by you be waxen poor, and be sold unto you, you shall not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as a hired servant, and as a sojourner, he shall be with you. You shall not lend upon usury to your brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger you may lend upon usury, but unto your brother you shall not lend upon usury, that the Lord your God may bless you in all that you set your hand to in the land where you go to possess it. If you lend money to any of my people that is poor by you, you shall not be to him as a usurer, neither shall you lay upon him usury. Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly, and works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. He that puts not out his money to usury, nor takes reward against the innocent. If a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and has not oppressed any, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has spoiled none by violence, has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment, he that has not given forth upon usury, neither has taken any increase, that has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, has executed true judgment between man and man, has walked in my statutes, and has kept my judgments, to deal truly, he is just, he shall surely live, says the Lord. And among the abominations that had destroyed the bloody city, Jerusalem, and taken the people captive to Babylon, was this. In you have they taken gifts to shed blood, you have taken usury and increase, and you have greedily gained of your neighbors by extortion, and have forgotten me, says the Lord. All this was written in the scriptures which these very people professed to believe, and in which they even boasted, and yet they disregarded it all, and made the poverty and necessity of their brethren only opportunity for traffic in loaning money and victuals for usury and increase. No wonder that the righteous Nehemiah declares, "I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, You exact usury, every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, We after our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen, and will you even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace, and found nothing to answer. Also I said,
"It is not good that you do. Ought you not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen our enemies? I likewise, and my brethren, and my servants, might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses, also the hundredth part of the money, and of the corn, the wine, and the oil, that you exact of them." Then said they, "We will restore them, and will require nothing of them, so will we do as you say." Then I called the priests, and took an oath of them, that they should do according to this promise. Also I shook my lap, and said, "So God shake out every man from his house, and from his labor, that performs not this promise, even thus be he shaken out, and emptied." And all the congregation said, "Amen," and praised the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. Nehemiah could safely and consistently appeal to all the people upon this issue, for, though he was an exceedingly rich man, and had the best of opportunities to lend money at big interest and make gain of the people, he not only did nothing of the kind as a speculator, but he did not use nor even collect what was his due as governor. For 12 years he supported himself and his whole household and retinue as governor, also 150 Jews and rulers, besides others, at his own expense from his own personal funds. And he says, "From the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is, 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver, yea, even their servants bear rule over the people, but so did not I, because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered there unto the work. Moreover there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was 1 ox and 6 choice sheep, also fowls were prepared for me, and 1 in 10 days store of all sorts of wine, yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people." With such an example as this of mercy and brotherly kindness ever before them, those who had been trading upon the bondage and necessities of the people were enabled to keep their promise to quit it all, and to deal with their brethren as though they were brethren indeed. This reform was a success. Nehemiah, because of the fear of God, had from the heart manifested the very spirit and essence of the divine principle. "All things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them?" Also in the same fear of God he could pray, "Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people." And that prayer will certainly be answered, because it is also a divine principle that, "With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." And now, as then, let all the people say, Amen.